Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Kuzma, catch and shoot, three in the corner, and he hit it with a foul! Splashes it down, and Kuz to the rescue!
Butts Talk starts now.
Lopez, desperation shot at the horn, off the back iron, no good, and the Suns will wiggle off the hook with a victory tonight.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios, here's Justin Garcia.
Well, the chance at a great road trip is gone. You still have a chance at a winning road trip, and that may well be determined by the health of the Denver Nuggets. As I mentioned, Nikola Jokic missed tonight's game against the Chicago Bulls. That's the fourth straight game that Jokic has missed with an ankle injury. So we'll all have a very keen eye on the injury reports when it is submitted tomorrow. But you lose a heartbreaker in Phoenix in a game that, frankly, I didn't think you would look at this and say the Bucks, when you talk about the basketball gods rewarding things, I don't know that the Bucks really deserved to win this game tonight, but they were in it. Kevin Durant was the best player on the floor. He and Giannis were 1-2 tonight. 7 of 9 on threes. He hit some big shots down the stretch. And, you know, for the Bucks, it's just winning on the margins and those things that add up the most and make the most difference for this team that we're really starting to see here. 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I think the obvious to state here is the Bucks really need Bobby Portis and Jericho Sims back on the floor as soon as possible. This was another game tonight where you were blasted on the boards. Phoenix out-rebounded the Bucks, and I really don't like to look at just the raw rebounding numbers and say, well, this team got X amount more rebounds than the other, because it doesn't always tell the full story here. I mean, if you shoot at a much lower percentage than your opponent, your opponent has more opportunities for rebounds in this one. But it was on both ends, offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds, that the Suns got to more of those loose balls. They did more with those second chance opportunities as well. And that's been a trend since Bobby Portis went down, and especially since you lost Jericho Sims. I think with what we were seeing from Sims in the interim, you were able to get by and stagger your bigs a little bit more and continue to play with some size, but that's just gone by the wayside. And you don't get Bobby Portis back until April 8th. You don't know when you get Jericho Sims back. You hope you get him back for the playoffs, but that word hope was used quite a bit in detailing us on the surgery and the ensuing process and everything that Jericho Sims is dealing with. So that certainly stands out. Fourth quarter execution, another one that continues to stand out for this Bucks team. And now you are two games behind the Indiana Pacers. You do hold the head-to-head tiebreaker, but you have to outplay the Pacers by two games the rest of the way, and that number of games remaining continues to shrink for both teams. 11 games remaining for both of those teams. So let's just boil this down. If Indiana goes 7-4, and I landed on 7-4 because right now at 42-29, that's the pace the Pacers are playing at. They're winning 7 out of every 11 games. If they go 7-4, it means you have to go 9-2 the rest of the way to tie the Pacers and get the 4 seed. Let's say they go 6-5. You got to go 8-3. And you still have the Denver Nuggets on the schedule. You still have two games left with the Detroit Pistons. I don't think any game you can take as a given for this Bucks team, who now dropped to 16-19 on the road. That is the worst road record of any team that is in the top 6 in the Eastern Conference. And the only team in the playoffs in the Western Conference with a worse road record is the Los Angeles Lakers, who are 15-19 on the road, but they are much, much better at home at 28-9. So winning on the road continues to be an issue for this Bucks team as well, but the pressure is really on. Now, we said last week, some of those losses, I think we probably could have and should have shifted our attention much sooner, but it shut the door on any chance to catch the New York Knicks. Nobody's having that conversation now because the Indiana Pacers are slowly starting to distance themselves. And, oh, by the way, the Detroit Pistons are just a half game back of you in the race for the 5 seed. So you could still drop down to 6th if you're the Bucks. Now, the Pistons do have the most challenging schedule remaining, not only of those 3 teams, of any team in the Eastern Conference, but the longer they hang around there, it's going to set up for a very, very interesting final weekend of the regular season where, again, it's the fact that you play the first of those 2 games in Detroit is a big one because it sets up the scenario of, hey, the Pistons win that game. They know, well, we haven't lost the tiebreaker yet, and this is going to come down to things like a divisional record, perhaps. And there's still a chance the Pistons could finish in front of the Bucks, setting up a ton of pressure for that final game of the regular season. Not quite ready to call it and say, well, this cements the Bucks as the 5 seed or worse here. But that time is slowly starting to dwindle for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I'll take a look at the upcoming schedule for this team. Count down the days before you get Bobby Portis back on the floor. As we just mentioned, the rebounding and how important it is. 7 games left that you're going to have to play without Bobby Portis. We'll dig into what those 7 games are, starting with Wednesday night in Denver against the Nuggets. Coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
Thought about the three, gives to Giannis. He's going to let it fly. And Giannis cans the three. Antetokounmpo has tied this game at 101. Rattles that baby through on a night that the Bucks have struggled to get 3-pointers to go. Of all people, Giannis breaks the seal.
Yeah, Giannis with his only 3 of the game, but you know, a couple things that you would circle on this one. Missed free throws, certainly one of those. Giannis left 7 points off the board with those free throw attempts. Bucks as a team missed 9 free throws in this game. Giannis goes 6 of 13, and you as a team go 20 of 29. I mean, free throws are big at any point in the game and in any game. You know, Torian Prince told us a couple of games ago, I think after the Lakers game at home, like, well, my dad always taught me when I was young, free throws are important because they're free, so you might as well make the most of them. Those things tend to loom in a playoff game. And, you know, tonight, you got into the bonus pretty early in the fourth quarter, and I think we arguably saw Mike Budenholzer playing a hack of Giannis strategy in this one late in the fourth quarter. But, you know, not having Damian Lillard on the floor, too, is another big piece of, hey, you get into the bonus early, and you got guys like Brook Lopez, who, you know, missed 1 free throw, and it would have given you a 1-point lead, but the fact that Devin Booker hit that jumper, it takes it off the board. It doesn't loom as large as if you would lose this game in overtime, and it goes to overtime because Devin Booker misses that jumper, and that's it. It's a tie game. But you got Dame. You got Brook Lopez. You got guys that you feel comfortable hitting free throws. So getting into the penalty, getting that team in the penalty, getting yourself into the bonus early, it's big. But you were just unable to take advantage of that tonight. Maybe the most troubling thing is the 3-point shooting, because this is another game where the Bucks were just cold. 31% shooting from 3 in this game. And that is kind of starting to be a trend here for this Bucks team, that we're seeing less and less efficiencies from this Bucks group now on the outside. And you look at the shots that they're getting, these are good shots. These are good looks that you're getting. They're just not falling. There was a big one. Granted, he had a great game, and that's been one of the norms of late here. Gary Trent Jr., you go back to that big look that he had, the open look from the outside that you make it, it's a 5-point game with about 30 seconds remaining. Now, does that mean the game's over? I don't know. I'm inclined to think yes with the way this game was going, but it gives the Suns a second life here, and they take advantage of it. So in the past few games here, you shot on your threes. 12 of 39 tonight, 13 of 31 against the Kings. 11 of 35 in the game before that against the Lakers. 12 of 38 against the Warriors. 17 of 40 against the Lakers prior to that. 9 against the Cavs prior to that. We've seen the faucet go cold for this Bucks team. And perhaps colder on A.J. Green than anyone else. And that's one of the other big pieces for this is the looks that you're going to get, you have to capitalize on those, especially in the playoffs. As we mentioned, the old 82 versus 16 discussion and who's going to hit tough contested shots in the playoffs, you got to start to see some of those fall through in the regular season. And again, we heard Doc, I think, put it best of, I don't get too caught up in one regular season game. Like, we know what we need to do here. We know what we want to look like. We got to be playing good basketball going into the playoffs, and we got to be healthy. I don't think you can make a case they've been playing good. They have not been playing terrible, but they've won four of their last 10 games now. And when you look at those four wins, the Los Angeles Lakers, who did have Luka Doncic, but Luka, I don't think, played in the fourth quarter of that game, the win that you had at home. The win against the Pacers. That is far and away the best team that you've beaten of late here. That was a good win, no disputing that. Then you beat the Lakers on the road. A Lakers team that had even fewer people. No Luka, no LeBron, no Austin Reeves. If you could name them, they weren't playing. And you beat the Sacramento Kings, who have frankly just not been a good team. Those are your four wins in that 10-game stretch where you have six losses, and losses to the Magic, the Cavs, the Pacers, the Thunder, the Warriors, and now the Suns. I mean, the first five playoff teams. I know the Magic are a play-in team as of this moment, but good teams and teams, in theory, the type of teams you're going to have to beat in the playoffs. That's who you've been losing to of late. I think the rebounds are a big part of it. I think the health is a big part of it. We can't understate the fact that you played these last three games without Damian Lillard, and who knows if that changes in Wednesday's game against the Denver Nuggets. It has opened the door for Ryan Rollins to get back into the mix and show you some really nice things. And once again, make it a debate and a conversation of, well, which of these two guys actually fits best with this Bucks group? Is it Ryan Rollins? Is it Kevin Porter Jr.? That's been the positive. The negative is, what does this mean? And I think especially if you go back to some of the comments that Doc Rivers made before this game, I'm not quite sure what to make of the Damian Lillard status here going forward. So we'll take a look at that. And, of course, the Denver Nuggets, who are also dealing with a health issue here with Nikola Jokic, who's missed four games in a row with an ankle sprain. But what is there to read into the comments that Doc Rivers made about Damian Lillard? And is there any type of further announcement forthcoming? We'll get into that conversation coming up after this on Bucks Talk.
I had to burn two timeouts on calls that you should have made. And then now I'm left with one timeout for the game. Like, I think there's a rule. If I get two right, I should get a timeout and an extra challenge.
Doc Rivers, pretty adamant about some of those calls down the stretch tonight and referenced the six-point swing, a three-point play that was wiped out. And the Suns hit a three on the other end. That was the Brook Lopez kind of up and under where there was a foul. I forget who the foul was called on. It was against Ryan Rollins, or the foul occurred on Ryan Rollins. And Brook Lopez made the shot rather than making a three-point play. It was just wiped off and no continuation. Foul called on the floor. Bucks turned it over. Suns hit a three. You go two for two on challenges, and I think Doc's point there, too, is, look, we won those challenges on calls that should have been pretty clear, but I had to burn a timeout and use the challenge. And look, we did it twice, and we won those, but I was down to just one timeout in a close game, a one-possession game where you could have used that for a number of different things tonight. But that's just one of the things here that did not go the Bucks' way tonight. The other rebounding, and I started to say, look, I don't really – I don't love to reference the Raw rebounding numbers a lot because of everything that goes into that and the fact that, you know, you got to look at your rebounding opportunities. If you missed more shots than your opponent did, well, they got more cracks at defensive rebounds than you do. So their numbers should be inflated. But it's also not as simple as that. It's been the Bucks getting beat on both ends, offensive rebounds and defensive rebounds here of late. A big piece of this is the absence of Bobby Portis, you know, and Brook Lopez, another guy that I've mentioned several times. I know it's easy to look at the box score. And tonight you can't do it, by the way, because he had 10 rebounds. But I know it's easy to look at the box score and say Brook Lopez had X amount of rebounds. He's 7 foot tall. How does he not get more rebounds? The big thing that he does is he creates rebounding opportunities for his team. The Bucks rebound defensive rebounding rate is at a much higher rate with Brook Lopez on the floor than it is with him off the floor. Bobby Portis, same thing can be said there for BP. Kyle Kuzma, same thing can be said there. And you get the thought behind this group. You know, you get size, and you get Giannis and Kuzma and Brook Lopez in the front court. You got Torian Prince, and we've had that conversation a couple of times, playing your two guard. It gives you more size. And we saw that's what they did to close out the game against the Sacramento Kings, where they just said, we're going big. We're going to get every single rebound that is out there. We are going to take advantage of that. Good luck dealing with this. That's what they did. You can't do that when you don't have half of that group. When half that group is unavailable, you can't get those rebounds. You can't play those guys on the floor for as many minutes as you previously were. You have to stagger those guys much, much more than you were. And that's what the Bucks are starting to run into here, is Brook Lopez played a ton of minutes tonight because you have no other options, right? There's no more Jericho Sims until probably at least the playoffs, and hopefully it's the playoffs. There's no more Bobby Portis until you get to April 8th with 4 games remaining this season in that matchup with the Minnesota Timberwolves, that you've just run out of those available bodies to get that size. And you look at tonight, I mean, Doc talked about the minutes for a number of guys, but Brook Lopez is, I think, the one whose name comes up the most. And Brook Lopez played just under 42 minutes tonight. It's obviously not a number you want to see continue here. But as we just said, what other options do the Bucks really have going forward until you start to get at least one of those guys back? And again, as just mentioned, it's still a ways away from getting one of those guys back. 7 more games before Bobby Portis becomes available to return to the floor. So Bucks are working through that, but they're potentially working through another injury situation. We heard Doc Rivers talk a little bit about Damian Lillard's status. And as I mentioned, this is the third consecutive game that Damian Lillard has now missed with a calf injury. Do we expect to see him return in Denver? Is this potentially something that's going to continue to linger? Well, if we base this off of what Doc Rivers had to say before the game, I don't know that I would bank on this being any day now. Damian Lillard is going to come back. So we'll hear what Doc Rivers had to say and try to decipher what does this all mean coming up after this on Bucks Talk. 108-106, final tonight in Phoenix. The Suns outlast the Bucks. Devin Booker hits a game winner. And Bucks with just under 2 seconds remaining. Doc said this after the game, too. Look, this wasn't... It's easy to point to. This is technically the last play of the game. It didn't work, and that's why you lost. But there was a lot that went into it before that. I don't even take too much out of that final shot attempt by Brook Lopez, because a lot broke down. I mean, Giannis and A.J. Green ran into each other. But Doc's larger point was just, I would have loved to have more timeouts. And, you know, having to burn timeouts for challenge calls that we thought were pretty clear was something that stuck with Doc Rivers after this game tonight. Something that happened before the game was Doc Rivers talked a little bit about the status of Damian Lillard and where we're currently at with that. All we know is it's day to day. But I'll tell you what. Let's play what Doc Rivers had to say and try to parse through what this actually means.
Dame was out again. Looked like he may have left the team. Is he with the team back to
yeah.
He is back.
Didn't you see him? Couldn't you have just told him that? You saw him walk by you, right?
I did. I didn't have time to tell him.
Oh, you haven't talked today?
I had a phone call.
Oh, okay.
He was calling, yeah. that said, I mean, I realize, and Darren said this, it's still day-to-day, but at this point, like, Denver, I don't know, is it one of those where it's to give him that calf and give
no,
time?
No, it's still day-to-day. I mean, we just have to wait, yeah, and see where it goes.
Typically on a day-to-day, he'll start as, like, questionable or something like that.
I don't follow that, so.
Okay, but he's been immediately, like, out.
Yeah,
so,
he's out.
So just, like, the thought process there is, like, there's no chance he can play that day. So
no.
Is he, like, getting the right kind of progress?
Obviously, because he's not playing. So, you know, we're just going to keep monitoring it. And hopefully we'll get more information about it in today. You know, I know he saw some people, and so we're checking everything out.
Did he have to get imaging or
out? Yeah, he's done that a couple times.
Okay. So there's no, like, tear or anything like that. It's just fine.
Yeah. We'll know. I don't know yet. We'll know more. Yeah, so.
Not really confidence-inspiring to listen to that. Like, it feels like we are day away from hearing some type of update of Damian Lillard will be reevaluated in X amount of days type of thing, similar to what the Knicks are currently going through with Jalen Brunson. That's when you pick through the three different questions that Doc was answered, he's day to day, but he's been ruled out immediately each of those days. Is he progressing? No. And I know he kind of tried to sidestep that a bit with how he provided the no and the reason behind it. But no, he's not progressing. He's going to get further testing done. I believe he's meeting with a specialist or getting some type of second look at it tomorrow. And that's why I say when Doc said, well, no more about is there any type of tear or anything in there that he's dealing with? No, but we'll find out some more. That's where it just feels like I don't know that we can bank on Damian Lillard being back Wednesday against the Nuggets. I don't know, frankly, that you can bank on Damian Lillard being back through the weekend when you have the New York Knicks on Friday night, the Atlanta Hawks on Sunday night, at home. So what you saw here to close this game, that may be what we're going to get for a little bit of time now. And again, there's no further inside information or anything, just kind of reading between the lines with some of the ways, the things that Doc Rivers said and how he handled those questions. It does not seem like this is he's close to playing Wednesday night or he was pretty close to playing tonight. I think it's pretty clear in listening to that. No, it's been, he's out. He's clearly not playing these past three games. Not even a part of the discussion. I would imagine when the injury report is updated tomorrow, he is going to be ruled out for the game against the Denver Nuggets. So, you know, that's the big thing is, and I think it's why we continue to hear Doc Rivers say, I don't lose sleep over single games over the course of the season, or I don't focus on those types of things. I'm more focused on, are we playing our best basketball and are we healthy? And, you know, for as much talk as we've had centered on the Bucks seed line, I think what we're starting to see is it's insignificant. And, like, we've had this conversation the past couple of years, and I think we all aligned on, look, you know what, I don't care what seed they finish at as long as this team is healthy. And then we slowly change our opinion on that over the course of the following season. But I think we're right back to there of this is a team that says, look, Dame needs some time here. Now that this is Giannis, Dame, and the role players, like, we especially need a healthy Damian Lillard in the postseason. So we're doing everything we can, even if it means Damian Lillard plays in two games the rest of the way. If that's what it takes to get him healthy for the postseason and that means we slide down to six, so be it. But that's the approach that we're going to be taking. But certainly a very I think, anxiety-inducing injury report that the Bucks will be releasing tomorrow, not just for the Damian Lillard component, but also let's see who Denver's going to have. Nikola Jokic has missed four consecutive games. Does that streak come to an end now, just in time for the matchup with the Bucks? 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. One text to get to here. Key play tonight around the 6:40 mark of the fourth quarter. There was a three-pointer that was missed. The long rebound available. It bounced a couple of times. There were two Bucks around it. But no one went for it. Suns got the rebound, came down and hit a three. In a game you lost by 2 points. I believe that was the Kuzma missed three-pointer that led to a Ryan Dunn three on the other end. I mean, I'd have to rewatch it again, but look, the Bucks went on a 7-0 run after that, so I don't think that was necessarily the key point of the game. They tied the game after that, and I mean, the Bucks don't chase down offensive rebounds, and there's a purpose behind it too. I would have to rewatch that play just to see how close was this to actually go get that one. But the reason why, and the Bucks aren't alone here, the reason why we saw this shift that frankly might be changing now, but a shift to more teams just saying we're giving up on offensive rebounds is because of the importance in setting your defense and saying, let's just get back on defense. Instead of having a two guard or a big chase down a ball, let's just be on the free throw line on the perimeter, and you don't get to it, and then there's nobody back there to defend the rim, or there's nobody to put pressure on the ball handler, and you're just gift-wrapping the opponent a fast break. We're not going to do that. We're just going to get back in on defense and get set on the other end. But we are starting to see more teams crash the offensive glass, and I do wonder if that's one of the big changes we see over this summer, that more teams just invest into that and say, look, you got to score to win games, and valuing these possessions, like, let's just say screw it. We don't care if we get burned in transition defense. We're going for more possessions, and we're going to start crashing offensive glass. But the Bucks are not one of those teams as of right now. I mean, even the fact that you tied the game shortly after that, I don't think that was the key play. I mean, I think the key play was arguably that Gary Trent Jr. missed three in the corner. You know, it would have put you up by five with, 30 seconds remaining? Would have given you 36 seconds left. Would have given you a 108-103 lead. Puts a lot of pressure on Phoenix to have to hit threes. And that's unfortunately been one of these trends that we've started to see here is your best shooters. And it wasn't Gary Trent tonight. We pointed that one out. He was still 4 of 8 on threes. But A.J. Green, you know, we've brought up that name quite a bit on this show recently, and A.J. Green has really been in a shooting funk, and that carried over once again tonight. A.J. Green's a guy you need a volume of three-point attempts from. I said nights when A.J. Green has two attempts, three attempts, like you need more than that. And I would argue even the four. Like you need A.J. to be taking more than four threes a game. But unfortunately, you got to make those. And AJ's just in a funk right now. 0-4 tonight, and they're all pretty clean looks. We can dig into those numbers just a bit coming up after this. Also, start to field some questions. Is this team now 9 games above 500, but 2 games back of the Indiana Pacers? Is their seed line set? We'll dig into that conversation coming up after this.
Kuzma, catch and shoot, 3 in the corner, and he hit it with a foul! Splashes it down, and Kuz to the rescue with 1:22 to play in the fourth. A chance for the four-point play as Kyle Kuzma knocks down his first three-pointer since the opening seconds of this game.
That really should have been the play of the game. A four-point play, and you give up a Kevin Durant three on the other end. Then you give up the Devin Booker game winner. And a game that was, again, there for the taking. But Suns just play better than you. And now 2-2 on the road trip. a chance to meet what the expectation was. 3-2. But to do that, you got to beat the Denver Nuggets on the road. And again, it's a Denver team that has played their last four games now without Nikola Jokic due to an ankle injury. They just sprained, rolled ankle. Just lost again tonight to the Chicago Bulls. And similar to the Bucks, they are 4-6 in their last 10 games. That's who you got up next on Wednesday night. We'll get to the questions here in just a second, but AJ Green in the second half schedule after the All-Star break. If we take out that game against the Mavs where he went 6 of 9 on threes, he's 26 of 78 on three-point attempts after the All-Star break. I haven't looked at how many of those are open looks with no defender within 4 feet. The eye test would tell you quite a bit. And that's one of the big changes, is you've continued to get consistent shooting from Torian Prince. You've gotten great shooting from Gary Trent Jr., who, again, 4 of 8 tonight on threes. But those looks are going to be there for AJ, and he has to hit those. You know, you love to see him continue to shoot through it. And again, even when he's missing them, I'm fine. I shouldn't say fine, but I'll allow an 0 for 5 because it means just keep taking them, AJ, and trust that it's eventually going to go through. But yeah, take out the Mavs game, and he's around 31% shooting from three after the All-Star break. What questions do we have after this one?
Last 9 p.m. game, but a busy comment section tonight. I'm going to combine a couple. I'm going to combine a couple from Io and Apostolos in the YouTube chat. Kuz needs to learn, or Doc needs to force him. No more threes from Kuzma. Why is a 20% three-point shooter shooting 7 threes? He went 3 for 7 tonight, which, not horrible. But and then Apostolos says, if Kuz is not producing lemons, put him in the second team. He will be more efficient. You'll take shots when Giannis is not on the court. Go to the paint, try to facilitate. Right now, you're taking shots from Giannis. What is your reaction to Kuzma behind the arc and the potential of him playing with the second unit?
Yeah, I mean, I'll start with the second part of it. I just don't think it's going to happen because we heard from day one, we brought him in here to start. It's certainly a worthy discussion to have, to try to dig into, well, does this work as much as we think it will on the floor with Giannis, given some of the spacing issues and the three-point shooting by Kuzma? I mean, I don't know what the magic number is. Like, he can't just pass up open looks. You don't want 13 three-point attempts like he got to the other night, but he has to take some of those. Is 7 too much? Maybe, you know? I mean, I think it stands out on nights when AJ's 0 for 4, and
right,
really outside of Gary Trent, nobody was hitting threes for the Bucks. They were, a 25% three-point shooting team if you took Gary Trent out of the mix tonight. And the other part about if you take him out, I mean, especially now when who do you put in the starting lineup? If they're healthy and everybody's available, you can have that conversation. And you could say, well, I don't know. Like, do you want to start Ryan Rollins next to Dame and keep Torian Prince as your three and bring Kyle Kuzma off the bench? Yeah, maybe, but you don't have Dame right now. And you're not going to start Kevin Porter Jr. and Ryan Rollins and then do the same thing that you're doing with your bigs and say, okay, now we got to stagger these guys too. So I think in that sense, their hands are just kind of tied here.
One more quick hitter just to relate back to the game tonight. Where does Kevin Durant play next season?
I think he plays for the Houston Rockets.
Wow. I like that.
He's got the relationship with Ime. I think Houston's got to do something.
Yeah.
Like, the same thing to a lesser extent as the Thunder and some of those other young teams were like, yeah, you got good young players, but you got to start to pay them. And, like, you're ripe for one of those 2 or 3 for 1 type of trades. So, like, that's what makes the most sense to me. I heard from people out there. We didn't even touch on it tonight. I'm sure we'll do it quite a bit on April 1st. But I heard it's not pretty with the overall vibes in this arena and some of the things that we're hearing about Coach Bud. It's not a great mood here in Phoenix. And even the way he... Yeah, I'm not talking about this before the game tonight. So, interesting scene out there in Phoenix. Wednesday night, Bucks head to Denver to take on the Nuggets. 8 o'clock tip, 7:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk with you then.